Welcome everybody back to Friar Talk. Today we're talking about some actual Padres baseball. We got the opening series at Petco Park. Padres split the series against the Giants. We're recording this late Sunday night, 8 o'clock Pacific time. Had to kind of do some stuff today. Family's in town for me, so was waiting till I was coming back home and everything. But you know, it was looking like we were going to be in a little bit of a panic mode. And look, I'll be honest, it's early in the season. I get that, but this is your, what is this, your 10 or 11 of AJ Preller, where it's like, oh God, it feels like the same problems are happening again. Today they come out, the offense absolutely explodes. Now, early on in the year, this is six games in, Padres are 3-3, but in a couple of the games, the offense has absolutely exploded. And honestly, the offense hasn't been that big of an issue yet, even though that was probably our main concern heading into the year. But we get, you know, an offensive explosion here. We've seen all of the starters outside of Matt Waldron in the regular season. And I feel like this was a big win. I feel like even though it's early, I get it's early, but it is the ups and downs of the MLB season that is just an absolute marathon. But we saw a big win today and the offense looked really good. I'm really excited that Luis Campusano looks like he's just awesome. It looks like he's like, we've been hyping him up for the last, dude, since the existence of the channel, we've been hyping up Luis Campusano, and finally it feels like he's emerged as the guy behind the plate, and he's going to be a beast on offense. So he looked really good today. Obviously, the offense was just awesome. Now the Giants pitcher, Jeffrey's not very good at all, but you know, we had the outings of Dylan Cease. Yesterday, we had some up and down outings. We had Joe Musgrove look okay, like after his initial like, early on. Today we see Michael King. There's ups and downs of it. Yu Darvish has looked really good early on, but a lot of ups and downs so far in this Padres season. We saw Fernando Tatis air out in right field. That was a pretty ugly air. So we've seen a lot already early on in the season. But Isaac Chase, what are you guys feeling like right now? Because it's very early on. We're six games into the season, but like, what do you think about this team? What are the initial takeaways that you guys have? And then we'll get into some people's questions. I'll get into some of the things I want to talk about that you guys want to talk about. But what are the initial takeaways right now?
I think they're a fun team. I think they're a really fun team in terms of, you know, the starting pitching. Yu Darvish has started out the year really well. Joe Musgrove, I don't really know. Joe Musgrove hasn't looked good early on. He's leaving a lot of pitches up in the zone. He's never been a velocity kind of guy. But, of course, when you're leaking pitches over the zone, it's going to help if you throw 99, and he doesn't do that. So when he's leaking pitches and when he's not hitting his spots, it hasn't looked good early on. I do expect him to improve. He's shown us how consistent he can be. And when he's on, he's one of the best pitchers, one of the top 20, top 25 pitchers in baseball. Someone that we want on the mound every fifth day for sure. But up to this point, two starts in, and last year he had his first two starts. They weren't that great either, so it's fine. Let's see how he does the rest of this upcoming month in April. I think he's gonna be fine. Dylan Cease, I thought he had a pretty solid outing. I forgot his exact numbers. I think they were 4 2/3. I think he went 4 2/3, 5 2/3, and allowed 3 runs. I want to say it was 3 runs or 2 runs, but I thought he looked good. He was getting a lot of swings and misses. He has one of the highest whiff percentages in baseball, one of the highest strikeout rates in baseball. So that's something to be excited about when it comes to Dylan Cease, something that we're going to be seeing throughout the year. And then Michael King, it's hard to evaluate that outing. It wasn't a good outing by any means. I know he only gave up 2 runs, but he went 4 2/3. He walked 7 guys. Something that we were talking about before the show started is he had really good movement on all of his pitches. Sinker looked good, fastball looked good. I think it was a changeup looked good. Everything looked good in terms of what he threw. It's just the location wasn't there. And I think when the location's up to par, then we'll get some more good outings out of him. Important note, he didn't walk that many guys last year, so his walk percentage has never been high. And I expect that to improve. Then you go through the lineup, right? Everyone in the lineup has been pretty damn good. And we'll talk about the most concerning part of this series here soon and why the Padres weren't able to get 3 out of 4 instead of having to split the series. But the lineup has looked pretty good from top to bottom. Xander Bogaerts had some RBIs, some singles here and there. Yet to see a lot of power from him yet. Fernando, over 1,000 OPS so far this season. Manny, 900 OPS. Jake Cronenworth, arguably the hottest hitter in the lineup. Ha-Seong Kim hit a home run today. Jerickson Profar is knocking guys in, getting singles here and there. I know it's not someone we want in our lineup every day, but he's gotten the job done up to this point. Luis Camposano's looked fantastic. Tyler Wade, I don't want to see him in the lineup. Jose Azucar, I don't really want to see Azucar in the lineup. I don't really want to. I'm okay with seeing Rosario and Pauly kind of platooning up until Manny's up to speed and if fully able to play defense. But that platoon where Rosario faces right, or Rosario faces lefties, Pauly faces righties, I think that'd be great. I don't think Tyler Wade deserves any at bats. I think we all are in agreement that he does not deserve those at bats. And another area of concern is the backup catcher. Higgy is absolutely horrendous. I never want to see him get another at bat again. And it's unfortunate that Campy can't play every day, because that'd be great. Whereas this other guy is just downright awful. Other than that, though, I mean, I thought the Padres hitters, sorry, I know I'm talking a lot. It's a lot to recap the series, but I thought the Padres hitters looked pretty good. I thought their approach at the plate was solid. And of course, the most concerning part was the bullpen, where, you know, Tom Cosgrove got a little roughed up in the third game. Colet got roughed up. Brito got roughed up. He had a good outing his second time around against in the third game. But yeah, the bullpen is not what I expected so far.
Yeah, more on that. Tom Dill, thank you for the $9.99. I'll post your comment up in a minute once I finish my part of the recap. So, Padres did well. I mean, nothing. We split the series. We had a chance to win it. The bullpen kind of faltered when we really needed it. Brito had a rough outing. We had a couple of pitchers with a rough outing. Anytime you walk seven guys, you can't really consider that a great outing. There is a thing called effectively wild, but walking seven guys is not effectively wild. You're just wild and you don't know where the ball's going. He did really well to maintain the damage. I'll say that. Usually when you walk seven people, you're not just giving up two earned runs. There's usually going to be a little more damage there. So that, props to him. Props to Michael King on that. We were talking about it last night when Pauly hit the home run. We're like, yeah, maybe Pauly should be starting over Tyler Wade. You know, maybe we should start these guys that we bring up to give them experience and plate appearances. I mean, we were basically begging for Campusano to get consistent reps at the plates for how many years now? Last year, I know we were on it. Like, hey, guys, you know, Campy's hitting the ball really hard. Maybe if we just get him consistent plate appearances, maybe we could see something great out of him. And, well, what do you know? He's getting consistent plate appearances, and he's been one of the best hitters so far this season. Sure, it's only a six-game sample size, but still six games. Hopefully he can continue that stretch. He's been hitting the ball, seeing the ball really well. Hopefully when Machado comes back and is, you know, well, not comes back, but starts playing third again, Campy can basically be an everyday hitter. You know, right now it's a little more difficult to keep him in the lineup every day because catching takes its toll on the body and you do need that break. But when Machado's back and playing third, you can throw Campy into DH and have that bat in there every single day. And so this offense could honestly only get better. We have some guys that are still kind of doing just meh at the beginning of the season. I know Machado did good today, but he has over 900 OPS. That average is all right. He's hitting the ball hard, though. If we can get more production from third base, either from Pauly or Eggy, I'd love to see it. Tyler Wade, I don't want to see on the field. It kind of felt like that from the first game when he had the error. I was like, cool, this is why, you know, I didn't want him to start. Grant Pauly broke his way into the MLB roster. Let's see what he has. And I know Tyler Wade did too, but Grant Pauly has a little bit more upside. I like Merrill's approach at the plate. He's been aggressive. Sure, he's not been hitting the ball the hardest, but I'd like to see the confidence swing away at what pitches they think he can drive. Pitching, the bullpen's probably the biggest concern there. But once again, like Tom Dill saying, Merrill's been really aggressive more than the vets last year. Campy's been crushing it. It's mainly the bullpen. Musgrove sometimes starts slow, so I'm not really too worried about that. Musgrove usually starts to kick into like his gear like with the fifth after the fifth start. I'm not too worried about it. What about you guys?
I'm not too worried about Musgrove. I mean, I think this is a good comment. Also, thank you for the super chat here, Tom. But yeah, I mean, I feel like Tom's right. Merrill's been more aggressive. Also, I want to see real quick, how many walks does Merrill have? Because I feel like he's walked a few times. So far, only two walks, maybe the last couple games. But, you know, he had two hits today. He doesn't have the best numbers so far. But also, I think it's easy to get ahead of yourself with numbers this early on in the season. I mean, we're six games in. This is a very small sample size of the season. We're not even – once we get to 10, 20, 30% into the season, then we can start talking numbers a little bit. And even then, it's way premature. But right at this point, it's like it doesn't even matter. But I think Merrill has looked good at times. I think he struggles against something. He looks like a rookie, man. Like, he looks kind of lost a little bit sometimes against breaking balls. But he also has had a lot of hard contact, which is super encouraging. Campy, I like what you guys are saying, dude. Like, I would like, Chase, I think you said it. I would like to see Campy at DH. And I know some people don't like that. They're like, oh, you can't have your backup catcher at DH and whatever. Dude, Campy needs to be in the lineup every day. His bat is as good as anyone's in this lineup. Well, not as good as, okay. That's a false statement. It's as good as anyone's that he's going to be on the bench for. How about that? I think we'd all agree with that. And we've seen how hard he hits the ball. Like, dude is an absolute menace at the plate. So I want to see Campy out there every day in the lineup. Say he starts 75% of the time at catcher. Cool. The other 25% or 20% of that, let's get him at DH, because I think that will go a long way for this team, because the lineup is thin at times. And we saw that on Saturday night when that lineup came out. Isaac, I don't know who tweeted out. Someone tweeted out like, oh God, this 5-9 is rough, man. And it was. And then Higgy came out there and went 0-for-4 and struck out four times. And they only got it going once they started getting Grand Pauly, those guys going in the lineup. But yeah, I think starting pitching, Michael King, yeah, he doesn't have the best numbers. Joe Musgrove struggled early. Cease, he looked all right. I'm not worried at all about the starting pitching. I'm worried about the bullpen. And I didn't think I would worry about that early on. But at this point, you have two guys you can really trust. You have Matsui and you have Suarez. You know, you got other guys. De Los Santos has looked pretty good for the most part, I would say. Have looked good early on today. Then he struggled a little bit. Brito's looked good the last couple games, but he looked really bad to start. Wandy Peralta, he's looked okay at times. Like, the bullpen's looking a little sus, and I didn't think it would look like that. So that's kind of where I'm at, where it's like, oh God. And that was a big issue last year, especially in the second half of the season. So I think that's probably the biggest issue I'd have so far with this team. Got another super chat right here. Thank you, Steve. Can the back end of the lineup support the stars enough? Jury is still out. So let's go back to it. We got this one. Isaac, Chase, what are you guys thinking about? And I think it's two things. I think from both these chats right here, right? One, back into the lineup, question marks there. What do the Padres need to do on that end? But also, bullpen-wise, are you confident at all?
Bullpen-wise, I'm pretty confident. I think someone that I haven't seen get enough talk on Twitter or anywhere is Yuki Matsui. Zero ERA up to this point. He has been the best pitcher out of the bullpen. His stuff is absolutely filthy. It's dirty, sucio, whatever you want to say about it. He's nasty. I think he's fantastic out of the bullpen. I hated that he had to come out today, because I was hoping that, you know, in a competitive series against the Cardinals, ideally you'd hope he'd be ready for the first game and the more competitive games, especially tomorrow with Waldron on the mound. You'd want your best relievers ready, because you don't really know how many innings you're going to get out of Waldron. You don't know what you're going to get out of Waldron. I'm kind of scared to see what Waldron gives us, but that's an exciting series coming up against the Cardinals, who were about an out away, two outs away from splitting the series with the Dodgers. But yeah, I still have confidence in the bullpen. Yuki Matsui's good. Robert Suarez is good. I think Brito's going to end up being pretty good, but I mean, ideally Brito ends up being in a starting role eventually, or someone other than Waldron ends up being in that starting role eventually. Woosuck Go right now is in the minors. That's someone that, I mean, you hope kind of turns it around, because I think he can be really valuable. Vasquez can be valuable. Peralta, I think, is fine. Kolick, I don't expect to get many more innings. Who am I missing? I'm missing someone that was kind of trash.
Cosgrove, I forgot.
Who?
Cosgrove.
Oh, Cosgrove. Yeah, Cosgrove did have a rough game. I think he'll be fine too, though. Overall, I think the bullpen's going to be all right. I don't think we're going to see a bunch of that. At least I hope we're not going to see a bunch of what we've seen up to this point. As far as the back half of the lineup, I mean, ideally, you have a different fifth hitter against righties, right? I don't feel like Ha-Seong Kim should be batting fifth against righties, and that's not trying to hate on the guy. It's just the splits kind of show that he's significantly better against lefties, where he hits like 285 against lefties. He hits 220 against righties. Ideally, against righties, he's batting six or seven, whereas maybe Campusano or a lefty is batting fifth. And then, I mean, against lefties, yeah, I think Ha-Seong Kim's going to support him great. And I mean, his home run was off a righty today, so props to him on that too. But other than that, Profar started off the season well, but we saw last year he got DFA'd by the Rockies of all teams, so we don't know what to expect out of Gerickson Profar. The year he was here in 2022, he had like a 730 OPS. That's about league average, if not a little below average. So if he does that, I mean, I'm fine with him hitting 7, 8, 9, whatever it is. But if he's doing what he did with the Rockies, I'm not very encouraged. But his numbers with the Padres when he came over to the Padres last year were actually pretty good. So if he ends up being like that, and I know his defense is kind of horrendous, but what can you do, I guess? Tyler Wade, not going to see him very much more. I think Graham Pauly he's getting a lot of hype, and it's justified because he showed power in the minors. He showed power in spring training. He showed power in his few at-bats this series. He got a base hit today. I think he looks great. I think he's going to be a solid piece off the bench. And for now, I think he's a great depth piece for while Manny is recovering and getting ready to play third. But I do think the bottom half of the lineup is going to be able to support the top half in the way that they're doing their job right now, right? Like, they're just getting on. They're letting Bogey do his thing. They're letting Tatis bring in the runs. Manny, Jake, they're doing the work at the top. All the guys at the bottom have to do is get on for the top guys. Jackson Merrill had two or three hits today. I think their approach is great, too. Like, I've noticed, other than maybe one of the pitchers, I forgot which one it was, but I want to say it was, what was his name? The guy that pitched yesterday in the third game for the Giants. Used to pitch for the Cardinals. I forgot his name, but they had a rough time getting his pitch count up. Other than that, I thought they did great in that department. So I've been enjoying the at-bats the Padres I've been taking. I know we want to see more power out of them, ideally, but we got to realize this isn't a lineup that has a ton of power. Really, your power is going to be supplied by, I mean, mostly by Fernando and Manny, and that's about it. So the rest of the guys just got to get on and let the sluggers do their thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not – like last, compared to last year, I'm not that concerned about our 5 through 9 or 6 through 9. Last year, you had Trent Grisham, you had Austin Nola, you had Matt Carpenter, and now you have Merrill, Pauly, Profar, which it's Kim. Like you have more depth than you did last year, and a lot more guys that are gonna put the ball in play. Merrill's a rookie, which he's going to struggle. He's hitting the ball well. He's seeing the ball well right now. He still looks like a rookie, though. He's going to go through his occasional slump as a rookie where he's going to be just a hole in the lineup, and that's okay. As long as Profar continues to do what he's doing right now, or as long as he used to do what he used to do where he would bat 9, but he would run up the pitch count and he may occasionally walk to set up, you know, bogeying them, that's absolutely okay. Pauly and Eggy, as long as they supply some power, that's okay. It is way better than what we had last year. Grisham was a black hole that just ate away at every scoring opportunity that we had. Either he would ground into a double play or he'd strike out looking at a pitch down the middle. Carpenter was no better. So we're in a lot better position there. Our bullpen, it's hard to say. We talked about it before, right before opening day. we said, like, yeah, we don't really see a couple of these guys, like Vasquez being sent down kind of rubbed us the wrong way. Jeremiah being sent down rubbed us the wrong way, where we believe those guys should have gotten the start. Kolek did not look good. I think he gave up, what, 3-4 runs in his one appearance. And you look at it and you go, wow, I wonder what Vasquez or Jeremiah could have done in that situation. And they probably would have done a little bit better. And so I think as long as the bullpen doesn't blow it for the next few games against the Cardinals, we can expect some changes. I know it sucks, but that's kind of what the beginning of season is for, seeing which guys work right now in the MLB and which guys don't. Bullpen is really easy to kind of just manipulate. You can send guys down, especially like guys like Kolek, and bring guys back up and see who's feeling better at the time. That's not the biggest concern. We have a lot of depth in the bullpen. Like if one of our guys went down for like 5-9, that's going to hurt a lot more than if somebody went down in the bullpen, just because we do have guys that are good and waiting to just be brought up in the bullpen. Can't say the same thing about 5-9.
So, okay. So something interesting I think that you guys are talking about is, we're talking about, and I'll start with 5-9 and then I'll get into the bullpen a little bit, but I also do think some of the bullpen's issues are kind of easily fixable. But looking at the 5-9 lineup, right? Today you have Ha-Seong Kim. He goes 4-3, has a bomb, great game. All right. Jerickson Profar 1-4, also walked. Luis Campusano 3-5, hit a home run as well. Graham Pauly 1-5. He struck out 3 times. Hey, last night he hit a home run. He's young. Jackson Merle 2-4. He's young, right? You got two young guys at the bottom of the lineup. I feel like that's a lot different than the lineup that was rolled out Saturday. And I don't have it right in front of me, but we know Higgy was in that lineup. We know Tyler Wade was in that lineup. Azokar, I don't think he was in yesterday's lineup. I think he was the day before, but he was in one of those lineups. That looks a lot different. So I think that when we're talking about this lineup, this 5-9 lineup, right? When it's the young guys, when it's Graham Pauly, Eggy Rosario, and Jackson Merrill, it has a much different feel. Not even like terms of what, I mean, it, partially in terms of what you're expecting, but also like you're letting the young guys play. And something that we talked about all throughout spring training was, hey, if you want to let the young guys play a little bit, see what you got at the beginning of the season, sure, go for it. And then you can make adjustments after that. But when Tyler Wade's in the lineup, and I don't want to hate on Jose Azokar because I think he has an important role. I think he can start every few days. I think him as a fourth outfielder is solid. I think he's good at that. He can pinch run. He can play defense, right? He can do all that stuff. But when you see him in the lineup and you see Higgy in the lineup and stuff like that, you're like, oh God, like this is a bad lineup. And I know that the Padres, well, they scored 6 runs on Saturday. Well, they didn't do that until Eggy and Graham Pauly hit home runs, you know, like, so it's like, that's the problem with the 5-9. And I think that's an issue I have. I tweeted out and I'll be honest, guys, I don't know how people disagree with this. I don't understand this whatsoever. If you're arguing that Tyler Wade is like it makes sense that they're starting Tyler Wade, I don't know what to tell you. Cool. He has a 400 average right now. He has good numbers. Tyler Wade is a career 68 WRC plus hitter in like 7 seasons, and his career high of home runs in a year was 7 home runs in AAA, probably 7 years ago. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but like that doesn't. And look, I hate to like rip on these guys that are like fringe, you know, MLB players and stuff, but like, that's just not going to cut it. Like, if you're a contending team, that's not really what you're looking for. But like, looking at the lineup, like, that's the thing. Yeah, go sign Brandon Belt. That's a great lefty guy that you can have platoon against righties. But if you're not going to do that, it makes zero sense that Graham Pauly is not your lefty platoon guy. At least give him the at-bats. At least give him the reps. And I feel like most people are definitely on board with this. Even if he struggles early on, you're getting young guys at-bats, you're getting them in there, and then you can make the adjustment later on. If you don't give Graham Pauly at bats right now, what happens? You do the Tyler Wade experience for a month and a half, and you go, oh, look, his numbers are back to where his career numbers are. And then you do the Graham Pauly experiment, and then boom, we're 3 months into the season, and we haven't figured out what's going on with our lefty platoon guy, our last lefty platoon guy. That's the problem. And sure, it's not a problem for every team. Like, you're going to have holes in every roster. The problem is that we've had these same very obvious issues with AJ Preller teams. That's the thing. Like, we just always have that every single year where it's like, okay, so the problem is that they need a lefty bat. Okay, there's Brandon Belt on the market. All right, go sign Brandon Belt. Okay, well, we can't because maybe he wants too much money. I don't know. But let's just either do that or start the young guys. If we start the young guys, I'm not going to argue with it. Sure. Don't sign Brandon Belt. Don't sign Tommy Pham. Put the young guys in there. But if we're just going to put guys in the lineup that have no business, like, being starting MLB players, if Tyler Wade's coming off the bench like he is today, no, that's fine. I don't care. But if he's starting and he's your lefty platoon guy, that makes no sense. So that's my issue right now with the team. But, I mean, I think it's a lot different, right? Like, looking at the different lineups like today, when you see Graham Pauly and Jackson Merrill and Luis Campusano in the lineup, that 5-9 looks so much better. It looks so much better. It looks so much more exciting. It just looks like, hey, it's the youth movement at the bottom of the order. And it's definitely, Chase, you brought up, it's a lot better than Austin Nola, Trent Grisham, like Matt Carpenter. It's way better than that. So do that. Go that route, because that is better than last year. And it's, you're letting the young guys play. So I hope they continue to do that. And I hope this early on this season is a little bit of wake-up call. Like, all right, let's just let these guys play.
Yeah, and you know, a competitive team, a team that wants to compete, that looks to be in the playoffs by the end of the season, shouldn't consistently be starting guys like Tyler Wade, Jose Azucar, Higgy. Like, talking about each guy, right? Tyler Wade, you mentioned it, Matt. 7 home runs is his career high, and that's in the minor leagues. And odds are that he'll max out like at 1 or 2. That's not something that I want to see in the lineup. That's not something that I want to see. I was very frustrated when he came up yesterday with, I think it was runners on 2nd and 3rd or 1st and 2nd, maybe even bases loaded. And I saw him come up to bat. Because, I mean, you know that there's no shot that he's going to drive in more than a run. Because ideally you want a guy up at the plate that can realistically clear the bases. That's something that a lot of the top lineups in baseball have. But he's not someone you want in your lineup at any point. He's someone that should probably be playing for the Nationals or something like that. You know, no offense to the guy, but I want to see my team win. I want to see my team give competitive at-bats to guys that deserve to have them. Azucar, Matt, you mentioned it. I think he's great in the roles that he could play. I think he's a great pinch runner. I think he's a great defensive substitution. Stuff like that. But with guys on, I do not want to see him getting at bat. It's the harsh truth. I know some of you guys like Jose Azucar. Trust me, I like Jose Azucar too. But, you know, it's just a matter of being honest. I don't think he deserves to be up there getting competitive at bats when, you know, you're playing a division game against a division rival who you expect to be in the thick of it with at the end of the season. You need to win these games, and giving automatic outs to them, such as the third game really was all of Merrill, unfortunately, was an auto out the third game, but he looked really good today. But then you look at like Higgy and stuff like that. You don't really want those guys. Tyler Wade, you don't really want those guys in your lineup when you're competing against a team that you realistically need to win against. I don't care how early it is. If it's like against the Marlins or something, sure, I'll say it's early, but you're facing division rivals right now. You're facing in the division where you expect to be competing with these guys around 85, 86 wins for a 5th or 6th playoff spot at the end of the season. You need to win these games. It is a tough start to the schedule for the Padres, where they face the Dodgers first. They play the Giants this series. They play St. Louis the next. They play the Giants again. It's a tough start, but these are games you got to win because they're all NL opponents. These are going to be the teams that you're going to be competing with come September. So, yeah, if you're going to be doing that, you can be giving at-bats to these guys. With that being said, though, I do think that if you put the right guys in, like Graham Pauly and Jackson Merrill, and you know, as the season goes on, they're going to keep getting good at-bats, and you know, they're going to get more experience at the plate against some of the top pitchers in baseball, such as, I mean, dude, Jordan Hicks. He looked fantastic. Like, I don't know if you guys saw that outing. That sinker, absolutely filthy. All of his pitches were working. He looked fantastic. It's something that I know he does get injured a lot. In the past, he's gotten injured a lot, and he's had to be delegated to the bullpen. But first outing in a Giants uniform was, I'll have to say, it was magnificent. Kyle Harrison also looked magnificent in his outing against the Padres. But now the Padres are going up against the Cardinals, who I don't think have a great pitching staff. And I think now is a good, and honestly, they have a pretty righty dominant pitching staff. Lance Lynn, Kyle Gibson is, I believe, pitching tomorrow. Who is it? Miles Michaelis. I mean, now is a great time to get Jackson Merrill and Graham Pauly those at bats. So I look forward to seeing what the Padres are going to roll out these next few days. Because realistically we know what it should be, but, I hope it's not what I don't want it to be.
Yeah, like Matt was saying earlier, let the kids play. I mean, we've been begging for it for I don't know how long. Every single time we've had a top prospect come in, it's okay, cool. They're going to get one at bat every five games. Oh, well, it doesn't work out. Let's trade them. No, if we actually play the guys, the good teams, when you looked at the Braves when they first started off, when Acuna, Albies, and someone else was coming up right at the same time, they were riding their young guys. They were riding Acuna. They were riding Albies, and it was working. And then they went and signed more guys to complement them. If the Padres could implement that, like say, hey, let's see what Graham Pauly has. Let's see what Jackson Merrill has. We already got two superstars locked in for the long term. All right, now let's go and get, you know, a couple more pieces while our rookies are on some cheaper contracts and build a team around that. We would be a much better off team. Like, if we did that, like say Pauly and Merrill work out and hey, Brandon Belt is still on the market after a month and we have the money to go and sign him real quick. And you add another lefty power bat into the lineup that can hit righties. You have a lot more of a complete team than, okay, well, we're going to start Tyler Wade and don't know what we're going to get out of Pauly and hell, even maybe Aguirre and Merrill, just because we're not going to give them the opportunities. And well, we're going to ride this experiment until the wheels fall off and then maybe hook it up to a different trailer and see how long that trailer can last. Well, if you just do that with the brand new trailer that has a lot more potential than the old trailer that you know what you're going to get out of, you know, I think we're going to go with the one that has more potential and is a little bit newer of a model. So Pauly, Merrill, Eggy, let's get them some at bats, see what they got before we just toss them to the side and like Preller always does. And hell, if we start, you know, doing really well and we're just like, hey, we're one bat away, I would love to see the Padres sign Brandon Belt or Tommy. I'm not the biggest Tommy fan guy. When he was on the Padres, I probably ripped him the most out of everybody. Did not like him on the Padres. Really rubbed me the wrong way after the whole thing with Ha-Seong Kim. He caused a lot of errors in the outfield. But the guy gets on base. I don't mean to sound like Billy Bean here. He gets on base. He hits the ball. And that's kind of what we need. And having him as a potential DH, you know, left field substitute with Profar, it just makes sense. Or at least get Brandon Belt, one of the two. Just we need one more power bat. It's not the sexiest of signings, but it's the signing that's going to win you games. And with the lineup that we have, we just need to get to the dance. We don't need to win the division. We don't need to be the first wild card. We just need to get to the dance. And in order to do that, we need one more decent bat.
Dude, I like it. Also, you bring up it's not the most sexy signing, right? Well, that's the thing that the Padres can do the sexy signing. We've seen it, bro. We've seen Manny Machado to San Diego in 2019. That didn't make any sense, but hey, okay, it works pretty good. We've seen that the sexy signing. Xander Bogaerts after an NLCS run. Oh, that one looks really sick. We've seen all that shit. All right. We've seen it. We've seen the trades. Juan Soto at the trade deadline, and then you add, you know, Josh Bell, Josh Hader, yeah, all these guys. Brandon Drury, right? We've seen all that. That's not what the Padres need to do. The Padres need to just make the simple right moves. And look, what we've ripped AJ Preller a lot. And honestly, dude, I'll be on. Okay. Sorry, Chase. This is going to give you some PTSD right here. I haven't been upset as I was last night. And it's, dude, this is the problem, dude. Last night was game five of the season. I was losing my fucking mind, man. I don't know why I was so upset, but I was like, it's the same thing. It's the same thing we've seen every time. We're starting Tyler Wade. There's a guy that has, you know, a 2, 3, 3, 4, like, what is it, 250 OPS points higher? against right-handed batters sitting available that's probably going to be signed for less than $5 million. And we're going to start Tyler Wade. And we also have a prospect in Graham Pauly. Like, I was losing my mind. So it was the most angry I've been about sports and since a certain Sunday, Chase. I think you know what Sunday that is. We're not going to get into it. If you guys know us, you know which football team we like. So we're not going to get into that. But it since a certain Sunday, and I was just losing my mind. I was like, dude, I don't know why I'm so mad right now. Like, this, there's no reason to be mad about sports. Like, I don't even get like that most of the time. But I was just like, I don't understand. It makes no sense. Then they start Graham Pauly today. Hopefully that's a sign of things to come, but I don't even really care about signing Tommy Pham. And I feel like everyone always looks at it like position needs, right? Like, okay, yeah, you kind of need a left fielder more than you do a first baseman. Okay. But you need a left-handed bat more than you need anything else on this roster. So go get the left-handed bat. Manny Machado is going to come back and play third. If Manny Machado comes back and plays third and you got Brandon Belt potentially there DHing and you can, you know, put him in at first base sometimes, you can move guys around, you can use a rest day, it's going to help so much. It's going to help so much for this lineup. So I really, really hope they sign Brandon Belt. If you're not going to, then start Graham Pauly, please. Please start Graham Pauly. So that's kind of where I'm at now with this. But... yeah, I think outside of that, outside of the lineup stuff, I mean, bullpen-wise, I am somewhat concerned. I thought the bullpen was going to be a little bit better than they have been so far. And part of that is they did lose Stephen Wilson, guys. Like, Stephen Wilson was really good. He was a really good setup man. And I think that they trade for Dylan Cease, so you're immediately like, oh, yeah, okay, that's great. But you're feeling the loss of Stephen Wilson. You absolutely are. So you're feeling that. Yuki Matsui, Isaac, you hyped him up a little bit. He was awesome. He was awesome, right? But outside of that, it's like, okay, he looks all right. It doesn't look too encouraging, to be honest, outside of most of the other guys. Wandy Peralta looks okay at times. Like, Burrito's looked a little bit better. I do think guys are going to improve. Tom Cosgrove has got rocked so far. He'll be all right. Like, I don't think it's that concerning, but I also don't think the bullpen might be like some elite bullpen that we talked about in February. I don't know if that's going to necessarily be the case, which is okay. You can have an average bullpen or whatever, but they might eventually need to add some arms. They might eventually need to call up some guys, Randy Vasquez, Jeremiah Estrada, right? Guys like that. And I think if they do call them up, I think that would be a big help, honestly. I'd rather have Jeremiah up than Kolek. Maybe we're biased because we obviously are rooting for Jeremiah, but I also think that the numbers tell you, like, hey, dude, Jeremiah probably deserves this more than anyone else. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at now. I do want to talk about this Cardinals series a little bit, but I did see something just to take it. Where was it? Take it away from Padres baseball for just a second. Devin here said this one. Yes, it was this one. All right. Real quick, and everyone
no, hates
the Chargers.
Take it off. Worry,
that'd be great.
No, yes, you don't.
This is exactly
you don't.
This is why I was laughing.
You don't want to hear my reaction to when they traded Keenan. You don't. I promise you.
Oh my god, bro. Oh.
I was. Oh my god. I was very livid.
That was a day.
It was a day. I don't even want to talk about it. it's April. What are we doing? Why are we talking football right now? The draft is like in 30 days. I don't give a damn about the draft. We're gonna draft Malik Nabers or whatever. We're gonna be fine. But that was heartbreaking when they traded my favorite receiver of all time. One of the best I've ever seen do it, but it is what it is. Fuck it. We ball.
Vincent Jackson anyway, exists, Isaac.
Huh?
I said disgust. Vincent Jackson exists.
Vincent Jackson doesn't touch Keenan Allen. RIP though. RIP. Don't get me wrong. RIP. But he does not touch the greatest Chargers receiver ever. Anyway, back to it. You know, going to the lineup like Brandon Belt is, I'd love Brandon Belt, man. I mean, it's like a lot of people are saying why he's old and whatever, but come on, bro. Like, would you rather see Tyler Wade get at bats or would you rather see Brandon Belt get at bats? I think it's a very easy answer. Because, like, hey, if Graham Pauly doesn't do good, you got Brandon Belt. If Brandon Belt doesn't do good, you got Graham Pauly. It's not like, hey, well, shit, if Grand Pauly doesn't do good, you got Tyler Wade.
Yeah, Tyler Wade.
Yay! Like that doesn't get the that does honestly. Hey, Matt was talking about the sexy signings and the trades. That brought back memories, babe. That got the juices flowing. That man, that was awesome. that brought me back. That was fantastic. But they didn't work.
There was definitely a different phrasing you
used. Chase, trust me, I thought that through, and I said it on purpose. But it didn't work. I mean, it got us to an LCS once, but I mean, you're looking at it now, and it's a team that's trying to significantly cut down on spending. And honestly, this isn't the way to do it. The studs and the scrubs is not fun. It's fun when you got the studs up, but when you got the scrubs up, you kind of want to like stab your eyes out. If I'm being completely honest, you don't want to see that shit. You don't want to see Higgy go 0-for-4 with four very non-competitive strikeouts. You don't want to see Tyler Wade. I don't give a damn if his batting average on balls and plays over 500. Those are the softest base hits I've seen in my life, and I don't think that's going to keep happening. Jose Azucar, I'm praying to God he hits a single, because we know a double's damn near not in play. I mean, a lot of these guys, they don't have a lot of power, and it's kind of frustrating to see, like, you know, Manny's going to do his thing. Fernando's going to do his thing. I think Xander's going to have a great season. Jake is off to a fantastic start. Campy's got some power. Kim's got some power. Dude, there's like two or three spots in your lineup that if you have two runners on, you're basically just praying to God they move them over, because they're not bringing them in. That's for damn sure. I mean, signing guys, and I'm on board with you, Chase. Like, I'm not a huge Tommy Pham fan. I do not like Tommy Pham. He absolutely rubbed me off the wrong way on his exit to San Diego. It was not a friendly exit on either side. It was not fun. I mean, on the Padres fan side, you got fans telling him and harassing him because he got stabbed. And on his side, he's trying to fight the fans that are telling him he got stabbed. So not a friendly farewell on either side. And that's why I don't think he should come back. But at this point, no signing is a sexy signing, right? Like, all the guys are gone. No trades are going to happen this early. I mean, a trade did happen today, but it was like a very insignificant trade. I don't know what to expect from the Padres, but I expect them to sign a bat, man. They have to sign a bat. And, you know, going on to this series against the Cardinals are a competitive team. I know they lost a series against the Dodgers, but they're a competitive team, man. They were a few outs away from going into the bottom of the ninth, up a run or two. Granted, they got lucky because there was a hit by pitch that brought in a run and a catcher's interference that brought in a run. So that game probably should have been over a lot sooner. But nonetheless, I think they're going to be a competitive team. The Cardinals are always a competitive team. Nonetheless, their pitching staff is old, and if the Padres don't rock these dudes, it's a little bit of a concern. So who is it? Kyle Gibson against Matt Waldron tomorrow? I don't know what to expect. I didn't take – what was that dude's name? I completely forgot that dude's name. I didn't take anyone's girlfriend. Your girlfriends are safe. Your girlfriends are safe. I promise you that. But
that was funny.
I mean, all these comments, they're pretty funny. Anyway, back to business. I mean, it's an old pitching staff. It's not an encouraging pitching staff on the Cardinals' behalf, but nonetheless, I expect them to be a competitive team throughout the year. They got some young guys. I believe his name's Jordan Walker. They got Mason Wynn. I forgot what his name is, but he got on two or three times today, hit a double off of Gavin Stone. Young guys over there, they're kind of doing the thing like this, some studs and some young guys. So excited for this upcoming series. I think it's one of the more fun series of the year. I'm excited to see it. Of course, you got the Giants right after again. So in these next, it's a four-game series against the Cards, right? I believe. So in these next, it's a three-game? Are you sure? Three. So in these next six games against the Giants and the Cardinals, you're hoping to go 500. Like, I know that's a low bar, or that's not a very fun bar to set, but you're hoping to just escape these next few games 500, go into the next series against who do they play after that? Can you guys tell me?
After the Cardinals, they play the Giants, Cubs, Dodgers, Brewers, Blue Jays, Rockies.
Holy shit. God damn.
I mean, hey, these teams aren't that crazy. The Cubs look pretty bad early on. I believe it's just
that they're all like gonna. I expect all those teams to be with us in the thick of it by the end of the season. So that's why they are important games. Like, you got to escape that gauntlet like over 500. So maybe winning four games out of these next six is going to be important because three might not cut it.
Four definitely. Like, when you look at it, Cardinals are going to be competitive in the Central. Cubs are going to be competitive in the Central. Milwaukee's going to be competitive. Like, Milwaukee, yeah, they were sellers, but they still have a decent team. They were still putting up runs. Yelich looked good in his beginning of the year. They still have a decent pitching staff. The Cubs are going to be looking. I have them taking that division. I'm just not that high on the Cardinals this year. I think they're like a year, maybe a couple of years out, considering they sold a couple of their guys last year and they lost Jordan Hicks. They lost Jack Flaherty. Then we play the Rockies and the Reds, where those are kind of the two teams that we're going to have to beat up on. But are we going to be able to finally beat the Rockies this year and not always split a series or lose? Because for some reason, whenever we go to Coors Field, which we're going to be playing them in for a four-game series, we suck. Or they always beat up on us for no reason.
No, it's true, dude. I feel like, I don't know, dude. I feel like it's tough. I think you're right, Isaac. Like, these series, like, I believe in the Cubs. I think a lot of these teams are around where we are, right? The Giants are around where we are. The Cardinals are around where we are. The Brewers are around where we are, right? And the Reds are later on, like, super into April. But, like, yeah, it's around the time, too. So it's a lot of these teams. And then, also, I don't know if you guys were – I was messing around with the schedule the other day. June is a pretty easy month for this team. But early on, it's like, hey, these are a lot of really important games for the NL. And I think last year we saw it, like, everyone being like, oh, it's okay. Like, we're a few games under 500. This team will hit a win streak. Yeah, we did. We saw this team hit a win streak in September, and then they barely missed out in the playoffs because they sucked for the first 5 months of the season. They choked, and they were bad when it mattered most, and they lost those important series. They lost to, like, the Pirates and, like, teams that weren't good. So I think that's the thing, was they were like, now going into this year, and maybe it's for better or for worse, right? We're like overanalyzing this team to the max, where it's like they need to win these games, they need to do this. Losing these games is not okay, blah, 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 blah. And like getting like really like irritated about it, like this is the same problems. But also, like, we've seen enough of these teams. We've seen these guys play enough where, like, not to be pessimistic, so don't be like mad at me when I say this, but would it be out of the cards if Fernando Tatis just keeps tearing the cover off the baseball, wins MVP, and then the Padres also miss the playoffs? Nah, dude, we've seen that. We've seen the caliber of super elite play, and then it's just like, oh, this roster's not filled out. They didn't really do a lot of stuff, and then they missed the playoffs. Look, all those accolades and stuff are cool. It was cool to see Blake Snell win Cy Young last year. It was cool to see Fernando's MVP run in 21. At the end of the day, I just really want to see them win. Like, yeah, 2022 was also cool, but you know what hit us at the end? Lack of pitching depth. Again. Again, that's what cost the Padres a chance to win the World Series. And I'll give it to you guys, Fernando also wasn't there. So that's also another fair point. But, like, seriously, like, that was a big issue. Like, that was what ended up, like, ultimately failing them at the end. When you have Manaea at the end, it's just like, oh, God. And that was what was screwing them over. So I think that's where we're at, where it's like, all right, dude, like, we're going to be, like, questioning this team a lot. Doesn't mean that we're not rooting. Doesn't mean we're not hoping for the best from these guys, of course. But there is a lot of, like, skepticism in looking at this team. Looking up ahead a little bit to this Cardinals series on Monday, tomorrow, we're going to see Waldron. He's going up against Kyle Gibson. Tuesday, going back to Yu Darvish, he's going up against Mikolas, who we've seen, honestly, a good amount. He got rocked in his first game against the Dodgers. And then we got Thompson. I don't remember this dude, to be honest, going up against Musgrove. So a potential bounce back for Musgrove. Got to take 2 out of 3. And I saw someone set it up here. Like, you just got to keep looking at these series of like, yeah, here it is. All you do is to look to take each series. And it's true. Like, they are just consistently 2 out of 3, 2 out of 3, 2 out of 3. Because right now this team's roughly a 500 team. That's what I'm expecting out of them. And I think we all feel the same way. We're all like, yeah, people talking about like 85 plus wins with this roster. I don't know. I'm probably not thinking that right now. But you got to start getting ahead of yourself a little bit, make some moves, and get to the spot where that is the expectation. But it's going to happen early on. We want to see them swing trades at the deadline to improve the lineup, bullpen, maybe the fifth starter. It's going to matter. Like, these games matter a lot because you're 10 games over 500 come the All-Star break. Okay, then you're going to see those moves. You're 10 games under the at the All-Star break. Well, you're not going to see them trade guys away. You're going to see them stand pat like we did last year and then miss out on potential trades also. But, like, that's going to be the case. That's going to be where they stand. So, like, yes, these games do matter a lot. I don't care if it's early anymore. I've got to the point where it's like, all right, this, it all matters now. It all matters right now. So, yeah, they're roughly a 500 team, but, like, man, we need to see it soon. So that's kind of where I'm at. The Cardinals as a roster, they're not very good, guys. Like, they kind of suck. Obviously, they got Arenado, Goldschmidt. They're studs. But outside of that, like, who's really scaring you in this lineup? It's not very good. I feel like that's kind of it. Like, is there anyone else in this lineup that you're looking at and you're like, oh, this guy's really good? Not really. They have some duds on their roster too. They got Brandon Crawford, Matt Carpenter. They got a lot of washed players. This Cardinals team is not the same Cardinals team that we saw 4 or 5 years ago. It sucks because they also got, I mean, Goldschmidt and Arenado are absolute, they're stars. They're superstars. 2 years ago, they were top 3 MVP caliber players. One of them took home the MVP. But it's not the same roster anymore. Their pitching isn't that good. Their bottom of the lineup isn't that good. They basically have 2 guys. Looks kind of like the Angels of the last few years. So you got to take 2 out of 3. I think that's okay, the expectation.
That's rude to the Cardinals. No one is like the Angels.
Yeah, I agree they're not that good, but I do expect them to be competitive. Now, back to Matt's statement about each game being important, each series being important. Absolutely true. I think last year they were so confident in their abilities that, like, when they lost the series, it was like, eh, we're good enough to bounce back. Oh, we'll be fine. Like, guys, it's barely – what about the quote, the specific quote for Manny Machado? I don't want any bandwagons, and it's something like that. I forgot what it was, right? It seemed like there was
don't
no
– jump on the bandwagon when we
there start we go. Or something. There like we that. Go. Yep, that. And no sense of urgency. That ultimately cost you series against teams like the Giants, teams like the Marlins, the Reds, the Pirates. I can go on and on and on about teams that they should have beat that they ended up losing to. And what about the reigning NL champs, the Diamondbacks, where they barely made it, but if you took a game or two from them, you probably make it over them. So a sense of urgency needs to be established in the fact that these April games, May, all of them are just as important as an October game. Because them treating every game like it wasn't that important, like they'll be fine if they lose. Like if the top of the lineup goes 0 for 16, they'll bounce back the next day. It ultimately led to one of the most disappointing seasons, if not the most disappointing season in franchise history. Whereas the sense of urgency in 2022 led to one of the most successful seasons over the last 20 plus years. So there needs to be a sense of urgency in that lineup, in that dugout. And I feel it so far. I can tell there's excitement. I like the vibes I'm seeing in the dugout so far. Whereas last year it felt like shit, if they lost, it was still smiles. And I mean, I don't expect everyone to be down and out when you're losing, but I also don't expect to see everyone laughing during every single loss, knowing that, hey, we got Juan Soto, Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis, Xander Bogaerts, Joe Musgrove, Hugh Darvish, Blake Snell, Josh Hader. We'll be all right. We're going to go on a win streak here eventually. Well, your win streak was too little too late and ended up being when there was a sense of urgency, they went on that win streak. So it's kind of funny what a sense of urgency and a sense of, you know, being competitive every month out of the season does for your team, because that's not what I saw the Padres last year. And that's honestly, it's what I'm seeing right now. They look like they want each and every game. There's a sense of urgency right now.
That's how it needs to be. Last year was so infuriating, where it was, always were talking, you know, once we get hot, don't on the bandwagon. And guess what? You guys waited until the last possible moment to get hot and try to jump on. And it didn't work. I mean, we were really talking about selling at the deadline. I remember, I don't know how long it was before the deadline. I saw someone bring it up earlier. The Everclear bet was the perfect example of how confident I was in the Padres' ability to make the playoffs last year. I bet that I would chug a bottle of Everclear on stream if the Padres made the playoffs. Guess who didn't chug Everclear?
You would have died, so thank God they didn't.
Thank God, yeah, but that aside, I mean, we have to play like every game matters. We cannot continue to play to the level of our competition. That's also one of the Padres' biggest struggles. For some reason, we like to play really hard against the great teams and then play just meh against the meh teams. We gotta play great all the time. Yeah, there's sometimes we play good ball and, you know, win games, but you cannot be losing series to the Pirates, the Royals, the Reds, the Nationals. Who else could you – like, there are some bad teams in the league that you got to capitalize on. You cannot be losing or splitting games to the Rockies. I'm sorry. The Rockies are not a good team. They do not have good pitching. The Pirates are up and coming. The Reds and up are coming, yes. But they're still not great teams. You cannot be losing series like we have been the past few years to the teams that are below 500. Those are the games that we have to, or those are the series that we have to maybe lose one game against. Because guess what? There's a lot of good teams in the MLB this year. There are a lot of teams that are going to be fighting for those playoff spots. I mean, you look at it. We got the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, us. The Giants could potentially make it. The Braves, the Phillies. The Mets are off to an awful start, but they're not a horrible team. You have the Brewers, the Cubs, and the Cardinals fighting in the Central, which I have no clue how good that division's going to be. That one's going to be a coin toss. And then you look at the AL, and the AL's also stacked in teams. We're going to be playing a lot of good teams this year. We cannot afford to play meh baseball at all. We have to play hard baseball the entire time. There cannot be this lackadaisical, we can get it later in the season. No, we got to treat it like it's a race instead of a marathon this year.
Chase, so you bring up that confidence in the Padres not like having that mentality and with the Everclear bet, right? Do you think they still have that this year, or do you feel a little different so far?
From right now, they are playing with a little more fire than they did. We'll see how it goes. I mean, we saw it halfway through the season, or it was like 60, 70 games in last season, where you could see them. They're just like, yeah, they're getting mad at us because we're not playing well. Just wait till we get hot. If we hear more of those comments, I'm afraid we're in for the same exact season.
I mean, it's fair. It's definitely fair. I hope that's not the case. And I think you are seeing a little bit, like, just the clubhouse does feel different, where it felt like there was a little too much confidence last year, where this year it's like a little bit more proven mentality, which you love to see. You absolutely love to see that. So hopefully you're right that it is a little bit different this year and you're not going to hear those comments, not going to see that type of style of play. But yeah, Chase, your Everclear bet really showed the confidence in the year and of like, hey, like, look, guys, like, hopefully, hopefully I have to do this, even though I might not make it out, but shoot, like,
I wanted them to make playoffs. I was really upset, and I knew they weren't going to make playoffs because of the way they were playing. Did I want them to make playoffs? Yes. I remember the streams. Everybody's like, get ready to chug Everclear. They're on a win streak. I kept saying, I hope they prove me wrong, but they're not going to.
Yeah, yeah. That was pretty awesome. Dude, I kind of forgot about that for a second. That was hilarious. I remember that time too. We were like, Chase is going to die. And everyone was like, I'm actually, and the chat was like, I'm kind of concerned, man. Chase might not make it. But here we go. Chase is still here. Chase, you can make that bet this year?
No, I'm not making that bet this year. We'll see how we go towards the year on whether or not I'll make that bet. It's a little too early to tell.
All right, I got one more thing before I take off out of here. Bob Melvin. I see a bunch of people talking about Bob Melvin in the chat. Why does everyone hate Bob Melvin so much? Because here's why. Here's my thing. Look, you can hate Bob Melvin, you can boo Bob Melvin or whatever. Guys, I was at a Padres baseball game where Eric Hosmer was being rumored to be traded. And Eric Hosmer, yes, the guy, you guys know the guy I'm talking about, the guy who is maybe the worst player I've ever seen in pro sports outside of a certain quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, who spun around three times and threw the ball behind him on primetime TV and also ran out of the back of the end zone and also threw a pick six on primetime TV and also choked every fucking clutch game ever. Okay, anyway. So, yeah. So, Eric Hosmer, they gave him a standing ovation,
bro. I remember that. Oh, my God.
I was there, and I was like, what the hell are we doing? So, why are we booing Bob Melvin when Eric Hosmer gets a standing ovation? That makes no sense. We got to at least stay consistent, guys. Like, if we want to just be like Philly fans or New York fans and just go crazy, sure, we can do that. But we can't give Eric Hosmer a standing ovation. That's insane. That's absolutely insane. So, that's my issue with it. You can boo Bob or whatever, but I don't even have like hard feelings towards him. It's like, yeah, AJ Preller was obviously a hard guy to work with, and he didn't want to work with him anymore. Fair enough. You guys have probably been in jobs where your boss sucks too. Mm-hmm. I've been in jobs where my boss sucked. I don't want to work for them. It's pretty simple. So I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand it at all. Especially when we give Eric Hosmer a round of applause, who guess what? Also had an issue with AJ Preller, and that was like a big issue of why they wanted to trade him. So it's like a very similar thing, except Eric Hosmer sucked. Bob Melvin was whatever.
I liked Bob Melvin. We went to the NLCS with Bob Melvin as our manager. We beat the Dodgers. We beat the Mets. We got stomped by the Phillies, but we don't talk about that because that was a very traumatic chain of events. He was always really nice to the fans. I mean, every season-ending press conference, he's just acknowledged how great the fans were, how we're the best fans in baseball, how he loves coming to Petco. Shit, even before he got here, he was saying Petco was the best environment he played in 2021. I think it was like a Tuesday or a Wednesday game, a night game. Oh God. It was like a night game. He just emphasized how great Petco was to be at. No, I like Bob Melvin, man. I mean, I didn't understand booing him either. What's really pissing me off about Petco Park right now is that there are way too many casuals going to the games just going to get drunk. If you don't know baseball, if you haven't followed the Padres for a while, like, I understand I'm being a gatekeeper, but it's really annoying that there's people that really want to go watch baseball games, that want to enjoy the game, and there's people that are going just to get fucked up and cause problems. It's really annoying to me. So, if you're that person, fuck you. I hope the Padres, I hope Bob, next time Bob Melvin's here, he gets a nice little standing out.
Yeah, just to address what Isaac said, it's not cool what you guys have been doing at the games, guys. Why the hell are we throwing hands like that? Like, no. We are better than this. We are a better fan base than to be sitting around getting drunk and fighting each other. We're supposed to be the city that is great. Our fans are great. People come out because they enjoy the atmosphere that we have. We're not the kind of crowd that goes and fights each other. No. Come on. We're better than that. Be better than that. Anyway, I nearly had an aneurysm reading that Eric Hosmer was goaded at defense. Oh my God. The amount of times that it is not okay. The amount of times Eric Hosmer has raised my blood pressure to the point that I could feel the vessels in my head just starting to come out. Like, no, no, no. Oh, Eric Hosmer, I think, is the most hated baseball player in my book. If not, he's damn near on top of the list. Can't believe we gave him an ovation and we're booing Bob Melvin. Be for real. Eric Hosmer stole $144 million from this goddamn franchise and walked away with it and did nothing for us.
And he's still getting paid by us.
Yeah, don't remind me, Isaac.
Yep. That could be Brandon Belt's money.
Hosmer is the sole reason that Myers had to move from first base into the outfield and get injured more, and the fact that we couldn't sign more people and keep some of our talent. He's part of the reason we had to trade Josh Naylor, because Josh Naylor couldn't make it as an outfielder and we didn't have a DH. If Eric Hosmer wasn't there, we would have so much better of a lineup and haven't traded so many guys away, because we couldn't A, either afford them, or B, they didn't have a position to play because Eric Hosmer was sitting there eating up fucking $144 million, sucking ass.
He also almost cost us Juan Soto.
He did almost cost us Juan Soto too.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Also, Isaac, you talk about the casual fan. Look, man, if you're a casual fan, I don't think you can't show up. But I think fighting the people, I think that was the thing.
That's where we draw the line.
That's what makes me mad. That's what makes me the most mad.
We need the money to sign Brandon Belt. Casuals can come in and get drunk. Just don't beat people. We need the money to sign Brandon Belt.
This shouldn't be Dodger Stadium.
Don't be stupid at games.
Also, like, I mean, look, I'm all down. Like, I also saw someone talking about up here, like, how are you going to watch the game? Like, it's like weird about how you can't watch the games. You're kind of missing out on young fans. Look, man, everyone's a casual fan at some point. Now, like, obviously, like, you're around sports a lot, you're not going to be a casual fan because you're going to pick up on it when you're pretty young. So it's a little different, right? But if you're a casual fan, that's fine, man. Like learn the game, whatever. But just to show up and have, like, I forgot what the term is for, but where it's like everyone's just in a crowd and they're just like, it's like, I don't know what I forgot what the term is, but where you're just like, everyone's going crazy and like, you're like, oh, let's boo Mom this mentality. Guy. You don't even know. What is it? Mom mentality? Yeah. Like, it's just like, you don't really know what's happening. You're just like, all right. Like, and you're just kind of doing that. And then you're getting the fights and stuff. It's like, ah, guys, come on. We don't need that. We don't really need that. But yeah, I don't really understand. Yeah. This is the big question. Why would you boo Bob Melvin? Because he left, like, to the Giants? Like, what? I'll be honest. What kind of issue do the Padres have with the Giants outside of the fact that they're in the division?
None.
About
the Giants.
And like, let's be real, like, in baseball, the divisions don't really matter as much. You're not playing like anymore. It doesn't really matter. You're playing them a little bit more. It used to be so heavy how often you'd play your like inner division, right? You don't really do that anymore. And I don't know. I just I don't know. I just feel like that. I don't know. I guess if people don't like Bob Melvin because he left, I get that's fair. Like, fair enough. But I just think it's a little ridiculous.
Sure. I mean, think of it like a job, right? That's actually exactly what it is for Bob Melvin. It's a job. He was unhappy working for AJ Preller. That's at least from what we're told or what we know. I mean, I know I hated one of my bosses. The minute I got the opportunity to leave that job, I left. Really, it's that simple. And that's what Bob Melvin did. So, no, I have no hate to Bob Melvin. Other than that,
he's not the worst Padres manager we've had either. We've had
hell no. Ew. Jeez. Oh my God. Oh my God. I can't see the comments. So I don't know who said that. I just want to address it. But anyway,
we blame the GM 100%. We've had videos talking about firing AJ Preller.
100%. Yeah, for sure. And you know, I'll just get back to what I was talking about. You know, overall it wasn't a great series, but I'm happy with the way it ended. We're 500 right now. Went up against two division rivals. It wasn't pretty on the behalf of like the bullpen and some of the bottom of the lineup and I know that, but the way it ended was very, very encouraging. And the first game was also a really good game from the Padres. Robert Suarez looked fantastic in that first game. I know he gave up a home run, but bro was pumping, bro. Like 99, 100 each pitch, solid movement. I think he's going to be a really, really good closer this year, and I'm excited to see what he's got. But series coming up against the Cardinals, again, I think they're going to be a competitive team. And it's a series that hopefully we're looking back on saying the reason we're in the playoffs is because we won a series like this.
Honestly, guys, I feel like it's time to wrap it up. Chase, Isaac, kind of feel like you just did your wrap up right there. Chase, anything else you want to say before we take off?
Let's whoop some birds.
All right. All right, everyone. Have a great night. We'll have some stuff out later, but thank you all for tuning in. Had a fun time talking to y'all. Yeah, I think the Potters have the advantage. You got to take at least 2 out of 3 in the series. But yeah, we'll be back next Sunday. We'll probably have some videos out throughout the week, stuff like that. But happy baseball's back. It's been exciting. It's hopefully also keep playing the young guys, man. Keep playing the young guys. I want to see that a lot more. And if you're just going to sign anyone, sign Brandon Belt over Tommy Pham. That would be how I feel like as well. But thank you all for hopping on. Yeah, we'll see y'all later. Have a great night. Talk to y'all soon. See you.